Good morning. Welcome. Next week's collection is for the Foreign Mission, and we'll also have potluck next weekend, Easter Sunday, and Good Friday service at 11 o'clock on Friday. Roy will be doing the psalm, and Cal will do the prayer. Any other announcements? All right, we'll start with number 6.
The psalm reading is Psalm 31, verse 9 to 16. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear for my acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of a mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me from thy mercy's sake.
morning. God's peace. Welcome. This Palm Sunday. Let us bow our heads before the Father and celebrate this day. Father, we come to you to celebrate this. We commemorate this day. We celebrate it as those did before you this day years ago as you entered Jerusalem with singing and shouting and joy and laying of palm trees and clothes before your before you as you rode into town on this colt, no doubt raised and loosed for just this purpose. We know that when you came into town that it wasn't all celebration in your heart, for you wept over Jerusalem. And as we have been given through our church calendar the words of the prophet that, Father, I ponder in my heart, Father, that did your son ask these same questions that your prophet recorded for us, that as we celebrated just a few months ago the birth of your son, our Redeemer, that you gave to us to be become man as us, to provide this way of salvation, that did he ask these words when, as he rode into town, when I came, where there was no man that was there, there was a question as to the length of your hand, the strength of your might, of your redemption. Father, we know that we're all created for a time, and that your son was obedient unto death on the cross, that as your words record, that as his eyes were set as a flint towards it, that he may take upon himself the curse that was due for us. Father, with this mind, we share in Queen Esther's thoughts that were we made for such a time as this, obedient servants unto the end, to come into your kingdom, into your presence, to do your work here on earth. We know that only by the work of your Son that you have provided this means of salvation, this righteousness of his was imputed upon us, that we may be justified in your sight. Father, to you all glory be given for that. We thank you. Our hearts are with those as well that are not well, whose minds are not well, whose bodies are not well. We all need you. It is only through you that we are not confounded, as your son exclaimed, as he no doubt wept as he approached this beautiful city of Jerusalem, that he knew he would not be confounded, that our help is in you, and through this wonderful plan of yours, this plan of salvation, you've let us know that what has been is now, what will be hath already been. And as we are surprised by the coming of spring, you have indicated to us that every season has its purpose. We give this to you. We ask your guiding hand to be upon our brother this morning as he brings you these words, that they may reflect your glory, they may reflect your grace and mercy that you share upon us. And we may sing unto you these praises and give unto you these joyful noises. Yes, you who is who are our Redeemer, our Creator, sorry, you who are our Redeemer, and you who are our Sanctifier. Father, may we share along together with you these words that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we continue?
Good morning. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love, be with you always to the ends of the earth. The text today is Matthew 26, 1-30. And we can turn there, but before we go to that text, there's a few accounts of this text, and especially when it comes to the woman that washes Jesus' feet. Three texts, Matthew, Mark, and John are the same woman. The one in Luke, I think, is before because of the fact that it seems like it's during John the Baptist's time. So I'm going to read Luke 7:31-50 first, and then go to the text, just so that we have a understanding of, I could say, the women that washed Jesus' feet, although it's controversial because some people think all four are the same. I think it's the one in Luke is before, but it seems similar. So I'll just start at the 30th verse of Luke 7 and read till the end of the chapter. And then we'll go to the text. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children
sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. So as you can see, this text is referring to John the Baptist back in the day before basically the Palm Sunday incident, which is a little before what, it's not really a Palm Sunday text, but this shows a different time. But then it says a sinful woman receives forgiveness, and that goes on here. So it's kind of the timing of this one seems before. And it says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. It's interesting it says that because we're all sinners. But it's pointing out to the fact that this woman was a sinner. So I'm guessing that she was more of a sinner, if that's possible. But the way they're portraying it, she wasn't exactly Christ-like. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet, behind him, weeping. So we can picture Jesus here sitting down, and the lady behind him, and she's weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. So we have this woman who's a sinner in the Pharisee's house with an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet, him behind him weeping, washing his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And the word for master is rabbi, teacher. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to them little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So this is the sinful woman receives forgiveness. And when we go to our text, we'll read our text in Matthew. And my title says, The Plot to Kill Jesus. So it's not mentioning before that. It's anything about John the Baptist or anything like that. But we've got to remember the picture of chapter 7 was the fact that the Pharisee, whoever he was, his name was Simon, but he was a Pharisee. He kind of had an attitude, which was, how can a prophet make company with somebody that's like this? And he really didn't understand Christ. And it's obvious the lesson to that was he wasn't forgiven much. So we read here, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman bringing an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priests, unto the chief priests, and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? One of them didn't say Lord, though. The Son of Man, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better, good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as he was eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, brake it, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, take ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung us a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So as we look at this 26th of Matthew, we will look into Mark and we will also look into John. But we'll just read and see where it takes us here. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after the 2 days of the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take this by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So they didn't want to kill Jesus on that day because it would have been a riot. So we have here the plot to kill Jesus. When, where, how is this going to work? Who's going to be part of it? And then for some reason we have this woman who anoints Jesus with precious ointment. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. So if we go to John in chapter 12, you can... We'll just read to verse 11. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. So Lazarus is here now. Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary, now we know the name, Mary, pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So we've got to understand this. Judas did not care for the poor. Why? Because he was a thief and he had the bag. He was the treasurer. No pun intended on Janelle or anything, but he was obviously concerned more about the money than about Christ. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. Hath she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So Lazarus is part of the picture. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. So we have the chief priests wanting Lazarus to die and Jesus to die, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Because of the raising of the dead that Christ did with Lazarus, it caused a lot of people to come to Christ because of that miracle. So we have Mary here in the 26th chapter. Lazarus is part of this picture. We have these scribes that are wanting to kill, the chief priests that want to kill, and scribes and elders of the people, and a place at a palace of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas. And then we have this washing of the feet. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and sat at meat. How precious was this ointment? Well, when we read in the next account. So it's basically a year's wages. A year's wages that was poured on Jesus. So this woman, Mary, broke an alabaster box, poured it on Jesus' feet, head. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. Now it's kind of like this. Judas probably said it first. What are you doing with this? You're wasting money. The other disciples were, yeah, he's wasting money. So that's the thought. So I think Judas was the culprit that brought this, because here it's saying his disciples saw it and they had indignation. What was influencing them to have indignation? Jesus stood up, I believe, first and said, you're wasting this. Like, this should have been sold and given to the poor, but he didn't care for the poor. But this woman, Mary, she ended up giving away a year's wages and pouring it on Jesus' head, washing it, washing his feet with her tears. And you picture that. How many of us have taken a year's wages and invested it into Christ? A year's wages. Whether that's time, whether that's our financial, whether it's whatever. It's a beautiful picture of what Mary did. Why? Well, Lazarus was raised. She loved Lazarus. Jesus, she recognized, was her Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So you have this woman who did an incredible thing, and actually it was a good work. You know, many times we say our works are as filthy rags, which they are. That's a truth statement. But this is a good work. So when you think about it, a year's wages, how much time are we investing in Christ through that Holy Spirit that guides and directs? How much money are we investing in Christ through that Holy Spirit? This woman did an incredible thing, and there's a memorial that will be given to her forever. Everybody will remember this woman because of what she did. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. We already know that that's not what Judas was concerned about. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. And the reason why he's saying that is because he knows he's going to be going to the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit will be given to us, the third part of the Trinity. But the poor you'll have always. We'll always have poor people. So he's giving that comparison. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. If we look at Mark 14:1-9. It's just the other account that after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And we've got to remember, it wasn't just him, they wanted Lazarus too. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why is this waste of ointment be made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And 300 pence in that day was a year's wages. They murmured against him, her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye? Hear. She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always." She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial unto her. Again, we're talking about Mary. And it all ties into the one act of love that this lady did for her Savior, which cost her a year's wages. What an example. For anybody that is reading this, it's incredible. And Mary was a sinner, by the way. She was no different than anybody else. Judas betrays Jesus, the 14th verse. This is interesting. Of Matthew 26. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him 30 pieces for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. So Judas had basically had enough. He was in charge of the treasury. He was given the responsibility of the treasury, and he was just like, "Okay, they just wasted like a year's wages. Like, I've got to get something out of this. This is not working for me." He's very self-centered. He had an attitude that was me, me, me. He did not understand, or maybe he was just jealous of the fact that Jesus was getting his feet washed and his hair washed, and I don't know, but it seems like Judas was off by quite a bit. And this was kind of the final straw that broke, and he's now trying to get some money out of it. So this is what he does. So then basically it says, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go unto the city, such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12." So we have the 12 disciples here. "And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.'" Can you picture that statement? "One of you shall betray me." It is interesting that what the response is. "And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, 'Lord, is it I?'" 11 of them recognized him as Lord. "Lord, is it I?" One of them recognized him as Master, Rabbi, Teacher. I say there's a difference. There was 11 was saying, "Lord, is it I?" Meaning they recognized their frailty. They recognized that they were a sinner. They recognized that they could make mistakes. They recognized that. But it was a sincere question. Is it possible that it would be me? Maybe it's me. Judas's heart was different, because he didn't call him Lord. He called him Master, Rabbi, Teacher. He wasn't the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings to Judas. He was just a teacher. There was a difference. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. So this is speaking of Judas. So this is showing where Christ is basically telling us what Judas was. It would have been better that he had not been born. I don't think since I've been a Christian, God has ever said that to me. Once. So, this is showing how evil Judas was. Now the fact is, if Judas would not have been born, somebody would have betrayed Christ. It would have been somebody else. And we can internalize this and say, we've all betrayed Christ. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, like it says in Romans. We've all sinned. But this is a little different. It's a little different. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come to me and says, it's better that you have not been born. The Holy Spirit comes to me and says, you have chosen before the foundation of the world to be a brother of Jesus Christ. You are called of God. You are elect of God. You have a purpose in this world to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit says to me. It does not tell me that the devil might say, yeah, you're just like Judas. It's better that you have not been born. But this is Christ saying this. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, Master, Rabbi, Teacher, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Or you could say, Thou hast said rightly. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is that my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. So this is the communion supper that we do every month, once a month. But you're taking of the bread. Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, the bread of life. You are part of Jesus Christ. The Christian is part of his body. We are also part of the body of Christ. So you're part of Christ and you're part of the communion of saints. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. You are partaking of the body of Christ. Your elder brother here is giving you part of him. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. So we have here the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. The blood that was shed for many are the ones that believe in the work of the blood, the power of the blood, that the blood actually does save us. His blood was shed for us. Our blood wasn't shed for him. He died for us. He was our propitiation. He took on our sin. So the sin of Calvary that we had, all our sin, he put in his flesh and it was condemned there. His blood was shed, which is living blood, which makes you alive, which we understand should have been our blood, but wasn't. He died for us. And our sins are put on him and we get his imputation of righteousness. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He hadn't died yet. Jesus hadn't died yet. And when we are in the Father's kingdom, he will drink with us of that fruit of the vine. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the, into the Mount of Olives. So we have a picture here of a lady, Mary, and an example where she got the idea of wiping his feet. Maybe it was from the lady that was the sinner. We don't know. We don't know why Mary washed Jesus' feet, except for the fact that she loved Jesus, she loved Lazarus, and she decided to put a year's wages and put it on the head of Christ, which represents our headship, our head. It is so beautiful. And then we have a betrayer who did not recognize his Lord and Savior, but recognized him as a teacher, master, rabbi. And he went and he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. I got to get something out of this. 30 pieces of silver. I don't know what the worth is back then, but pretty worthless, really, when you think about it. But this woman was saved, speaking of the one that was the first woman in Luke. She was saved. The sinner was saved. Because of what she did. Her love for Christ. I guess my prayer is, do we have that love for Christ? Do we have the ability to, because of the love of God that constrains us to do good. And it says a good work here this woman did. Does his love constrain you to do good? It definitely constrains us from doing evil. Because Judas didn't love Christ and he did evil. I think it's just a beautiful picture of what the Christian is. The love of Christ gives us such a influence to love one another in the body of Christ. Not for gain, not for glory, but for the fact that they're our brother. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. And what he did for us is we can't even grasp it with our mind, the amount of love he did. You can look at it and say how much, and you get a picture of what he did for you, and then you look at another Bible verse and you get another picture, and then it adds on and adds on and adds on and adds on and adds on. That goes for eternity. That'll go, it doesn't end. The cross is what he did on the cross. We will never exhaust that love because it goes on forever. So we can't even explain it. I can't explain it. But this lady gave us a picture of a good work, and she was saved. And Mary gave us a picture of a good work. And there's a memorial. Everybody will remember her. Is that the reason why we do it? No. We do the good work because of our Savior. That's the reason why we do the good work. He constrains us to do good because of the love he shows upon us. I guess, are we ready for his kingdom? Are we ready? Are we showing good works? Because we've been chosen to do good works, and good works will happen because of this Holy Spirit in us. And even though the good works happen, we recognize that we can't take the credit for it, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the idea, the thought, and the way to move to do what's good. But there's a good example in this 26th chapter of what a good work is. And there's an example of somebody that is, this is deceitfully wicked and does not love Christ. And I'm so thankful that we have faith in Christ. To that end, I'll just close in prayer here. Father, we thank you for this text. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for good works. We thank you for giving us the ability through your Holy Spirit to do anything good. We thank you for this lady that you've told us about, who has done and wrought a good work just by focusing on you. Father, help us do the same. In Jesus' name.